Hey everyone, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to insert a quick disclaimer. Today's topic includes mature themes that aren't suitable for all audiences, and as always, we will be discussing some pretty spooky stuff, so listener's discretion is advised. Thank you for your understanding, and without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Have you ever wondered what a haunting might do to the psyche? It's a loaded question, I know, but I can only assume that some, if not most of us, have had a brush or two with the paranormal. So it's hard not to question what effects those encounters have on the human mind. Does it create a sense of anxiety, fabricating thoughts and impressions that may not actually be true? Could it foster an air of paranoia, making us question what we can trust and where we should stay on guard? Are ghosts even capable of affecting us like this at all? Well, coming from a skeptic's perspective, the answer to that question is likely fairly cut and dry. No, the paranormal can't create those kinds of emotions. I mean, how could they if the paranormal doesn't exist, right? Well, maybe it's placebo. Maybe the very idea that a location is haunted is enough to facilitate that anxiety, that paranoia. But let's assume for a moment that ghosts are in fact real, that the encounters we've endured are truly of supernatural proportions. If that's the case, then that seemingly straightforward answer becomes a lot more complicated, leaving us to sort out which of our emotions are our own and which come from something else entirely. I'm Courtney Hayes, and you're listening to Haunts. Stay tuned. I have a friend who grew up in Omaha, and while she's since moved away, that time in her life is one that she looks back on with fondness. Judging by the way she talks about it, Nebraska sounds like a wonderful place to have a childhood. Warm summer days out on the lake, sparkling white winters spanning across wide open spaces. If you're feeling hungry, why don't you run down to the corner store and buy yourself a Runza? Oh, and if you're old enough, make sure to grab a red beer to wash it down. When she describes her native state to me in this light, I can see why she loves it as much as she does. But I will admit that recently, there is another, somewhat more haunting side of Nebraska that has piqued my interest. It's a place that she herself has explored on a handful of occasions, even in spite of the fact that ghosts and the paranormal aren't exactly her forte. In fact, it's a location that many Omaha teens have visited with the intentions of getting spooked thanks to its reputation for being one of, if not the most, haunted location in all of Nebraska. Yes, you heard that right. This haunt has attracted visitors from all over the state simply because they want to get scared. And apparently, Hummel Park is the place to give yourself the creeps. Of course, with that claim to fame, it's hard not to be at least a little curious about the history and the lore surrounding Hummel Park. But what I'm most interested in is the psychology behind why ordinary people without so much as a passing interest in the paranormal would want to freak themselves out by exploring a haunt such as this. I guess what I'm really wondering is how does the paranormal play into that fear factor? And are there any theories to back up those claims? It was back in 1991 when researcher R. Ulrich developed a little-known psychological theory to account for the relationship between natural stimuli and psychological stressors. This stress reduction theory is pretty straightforward. So Ulrich claimed natural environments, such as parks, lakes, and green spaces, reduce stress, while artificial environments, office buildings, coffee shops, even our own homes, have the opposite effect. I mean, that makes sense. After all, there is a reason why we're told to go outside and touch grass when we're feeling overwhelmed. It grounds us and keeps the anxiety at bay. Okay, so in that sense, the stress reduction theory is simple enough to follow. But what does that have to do with the paranormal? With Haunted Hummel Park? And for that matter, why am I presenting it to you now? Well, at least according to Alex Escolia-Gascon and James Horan of the Ramon Llull University, this SRT has one rather gaping hole. Natural environments don't always reduce stress, not when said environment is alleged to be haunted. In fact, through their own peer-reviewed research on this theory, which was published back in October of 2021, they found that the stress levels of both believers and non-believers increased when subjected to natural yet allegedly haunted locations. Meaning that somehow, running along the synapses of our brains, there's a very real connection between our environment, the paranormal, and our own psychological stressors. Of course, it's hard to say what exactly that connection is, but we do know of one allegedly haunted natural environment sitting on the outskirts of Omaha. So why don't we go there now and peel back the layers of this haunt? And by the time we're done, maybe we'll know if there's truly anything to stress about. Established in 1930, Hummel Park spans across 202 pristine acres just north of Omaha. As you might expect, at first glance, this environment would appear to be an ordinary green space. Visitors can enjoy everything, from hiking to a round of golf. And for what it's worth, the Hummel Park Nature Preserve seems relatively family-friendly, playing host to a children's day camp during the summer months, as well as a Four Seasons nature-based preschool. Yes, that's right. If you're in the area and you're looking for alternative schooling for your kids, Hummel Park could act as an expansive classroom, which, at least in my opinion, would be really cool. If it were any other location, aside from this, that is. But considering that this haunt is likely one of the most paranormally charged locations in all of Nebraska, along with the haunting hypothesis presented through the SRT, it doesn't seem like Hummel Park would be somewhere you'd want to spend prolonged periods of time. So before you go enrolling your kids into one of these programs, maybe we should discuss the dark spots peppered throughout the park's history, starting with the story of Amber Harris. Although I should warn you that these events are tragic and heinous, so if you'd like to skip ahead a bit, now's the time. It was May 11th, 2006, when the remains of 12-year-old Amber Harris were discovered buried in a shallow grave at Hummel Park. It had been 6 months since she had disappeared on her walk home from the school bus, and while her family had been waiting in agony for all that time, their nightmare was far from over. You see, due to the ongoing investigation into her disappearance, Amber's remains were withheld so they could be further examined for evidence. Of course, that makes sense, but as an unfortunate result, the Harris family had to postpone their daughter's already long overdue funeral. Then, if that wasn't enough, they would have to wait another year before Amber's killer was actually found. Meanwhile, Roy Ellis Jr. was continuing on a rampage of vile misdeeds. Even prior to Amber's disappearance, Ellis had been in and out of prison, serving sentences that ranged from simply violating protection orders to acts as extreme as making terroristic threats. In total, Ellis had been convicted of 9 separate felonies, by the time he had been arrested and charged with Amber's murder back in 2007. And in the months that followed, the horrifying reality of what happened to Amber Harris finally came to light. According to the autopsy report, Amber's cause of death had been blunt force trauma to the head. Although before it got to that point, poor Amber had been the victim of a sexual assault at Ellis's hand. After this nightmare of a scene had finally come to an end, Ellis buried Amber in Hummel Park and dumped her book bag in a nearby trash bin. Although little did he know at the time, that book bag contained DNA evidence that tied him to the case, which ultimately brought this vicious killer to justice. Still, that doesn't change the fact that this was a highly traumatic and stressful incident, both for the Harris family as well as Amber's soul. And if you ask me, it's those very stressors that are latent throughout the park, even to this day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want my own children to be spending their school days at the same location where one of their peers had endured such a horrific attack. Not to mention that this isn't the only true crime element connected to this haunt, nor is it the only reason that locals and visitors alike believe Hummel Park to be haunted, if even cursed. By now, it should be apparent that Hummel Park isn't exactly the serene green space I made it out to be at the top of the last segment. In fact, at least according to one of my sources, the park is somewhat of a hotbed, both for crime as well as paranormal activity. Dating as far back as 1933, stories of murder, sexual assault, even occult activity have been written about this haunt. And of course, those grim events have left their mark on the land, permeating throughout the 200 acres that make up the park itself. In other words, Hummel Park would seem to be the wrong place to match nearly a century of bad timing. It's far from peaceful, even in spite of the evidence supporting the SRT. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. So let's rewind and revisit this whole notion of occult activity. I mean, we would be wrong not to, considering that it could shed some light onto the many haunts making a home for themselves here in Hummel Park. Like any good piece of folklore, the albino cult of Hummel Park started out as a local rumor. So the legend goes, there is a farm or a colony of sorts hidden away in the far reaches of the nature preserve. Supposedly, this encampment is exclusively inhabited by albino Satanists, which in and of itself does sound pretty spooky. But of course, that isn't even the half of it. You see, at least according to a few, admittedly unreliable Reddit posts, these cult members remain hidden throughout the day, lurking in the shadows away from the scorching rays of the sun. But as night descends, they slink about the park, where they are said to perform their infernal rites in the form of animal sacrifices. Now, like I said, the majority of my sources on this particular point of discussion are unreliable at best. But it's worth mentioning that my friend did bring up this cult when she first brought Hummel Park to my attention. So, at least from where I'm standing, it seems that the locals are well aware, if even fearful, of the park's unholy reputation. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that the rumors of occult activity are true. In fact, I would be willing to bet that there's no farm or colony hidden between the trees at Hummel Park. But even still, this story, whether it's a rumor or bona fide fact, is quite unsettling, especially if you've just taken a nighttime stroll through Nebraska's most haunted park in search of a fright. Perhaps the eeriest aspect of this haunt is the fact that it shares an architectural feature with another location that we've discussed in recent weeks. If you recall back to episode 62, Carpenter Cemetery in Cloverland, Indiana, is home to an alleged staircase to hell, one that can supposedly show you a vision of your own death. Now, I'll be honest, fortunately, Hummel Park doesn't share in that reputation, although there is a staircase nestled in the farthest reaches of the park itself. Oh, and just like the one in Carpenter Cemetery, this staircase is thought to be incredibly haunted. Yes, you heard that right. Two natural environments, two sets of staircases, each hidden away in two otherwise unsuspecting corners of the Midwest. When you put it that way, you have to admit, the similarities are just uncanny. But full disclosure here, guys, that isn't even the strangest part. You see, the staircase that has been laid throughout Hummel Park has this peculiar reputation for being, let's call it, inaccurate. You could climb up and down those steps 100 times in a day, counting your footsteps throughout each trek, and never would you once count the same number twice. Of course, at a passing glance, that may not sound nefarious or even noteworthy. That is, unless you know the story of the 100-step staircase of Carpenter Cemetery. Because, as you and I know all too well, miscounting your footsteps on that particular set of stairs can lead to supernaturally dire circumstances, the likes of which may just have you counting down the days till that deathly vision finally comes to pass. Okay, so I think it's pretty obvious that the history of Hummel Park is rather grim, which is exactly why this location is thought to be one of the most haunted in all of Nebraska. It's quite the reputation, but I'll be honest with you guys, I had trouble finding any detailed accounts of the paranormal activity that's supposedly so common throughout this haunt. Now, this is not to say that I couldn't find any first-hand accounts from people who have visited this location, of paranormal investigators, as well as curious locals who've gone out to Hummel Park in search of the dead. On the contrary, I found some reports from investigators saying that things felt off, if even unsettling. But to my, and likely your, disappointment, those claims were never presented alongside concrete evidence or even vague stories of supernatural encounters. In other words, it seems that those who visit this location go in with the expectation that paranormal activity is imminent. And from there, those very expectations foster a sense of fear and overwhelming dread, which, of course, brings us back to the stress reduction theory. As we learned earlier on in the episode, natural environments are supposed to foster a sense of peace and relaxation. That is, unless said location is thought to be haunted. In which case, that haunt will instead produce feelings of stress and anxiety. Now, this is true regardless of whether or not those claims of paranormal activity are actually legitimate. I mean, think about it. If you're told that you're staying in a haunted location, even if you love ghosts as much as you and I do, you're automatically at least going to be a little on edge. So, in the case of Hummel Park, it almost doesn't matter if the legends are true, or if these ghost stories are simply just stories. Because at the end of the day, its reputation alone is more than enough to haunt the darkest corners of our minds. This episode of Haunts was written and produced by me, Courtney Hayes. If you've been enjoying the show so far, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review. A lot of work goes into each episode, and reviewing the show really helps us reach more listeners each week. Also, if you're interested in learning more about this week's topic, I greatly encourage you to check out the show notes section at hauntscast.com. This is the location where I share my sources and provide any visual aid that may be referenced during the show. While you're there, make sure to follow us on social media at HauntsCast, and don't forget to stick around to the end of the episode for this week's podcast recommendations. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, happy haunting.
As the moonlight pierces through the dark, paranormal enthusiast and best friends, Farrah and Courtney venture deep into the woods, armed with flashlights and a sense of adventure.
Farrah, are you sure this is a good idea?
Sure, I'm sure. We're paranormal investigators. We're not scared of any ghosts.
What was that?
Probably some animals. Oh my God. My flashlight is going out.
Following the chilling sounds, the two stumble upon an abandoned and haunted building, its dark silhouette looming over them.
Look, there it is. The abandoned radio station. It's supposed to be mad haunted.
Let's be careful. We don't know what's inside.
Wow, look at this place.
A long growl is heard coming from behind the girls. They turn around slowly, and to their surprise, a zombie is standing in front of them dressed to the nines, wearing a 70s bell-bottom hot pink and purple leisure suit.
Who are you pasty-looking females, and what the heck are you doing in here?
Who are you calling pasty? Nice suit. Did you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe, or did John Travolta have a yard sale?
Sorry about that. We didn't mean any harm. We're just curious about this place.
Curious, huh? Well, come with me. I got something to show you.
And as they wander deeper into the building, they uncover vintage studio equipment covered in dust and decay.
Farrah, you were looking for a new place to set up your podcast, right?
And this is it?
Whoa, whoa there, sweet cheeks.
No, don't worry. We'll make it worth your while. We love the strange and unexplained phenomena, true crime, macabre, and the sinister. And hey, you'd be a great touch to the show. Maybe be an announcer for us as well.
That does sound stellar. I'm in.
A few minutes later, 12 seconds later, 3 weeks later, many months later.
Okay, we're rolling. Welcome to Studio Sinister Podcast,
where we explore stories that haunt us all.
And then we'll go make a fresh kill to celebrate.
Dawn.
Just kidding.
Join Farrah, Courtney, and Dawn the Zombie on the 1st, 10th, and 20th of every month for some rad, chilling stories.
And if you piss your pants, that's your problem.
Come embrace the haunt. See you soon, Sinister Seekers.
Hey everyone, I'm Shelley.
And I'm Eric.
And we're the hosts of Gruesome and Unnatural, a true crime podcast about murder, cold cases, missing people, and just unnatural s***.
Join us every Monday, where Shelly tells me gruesome stories that absolutely f*** with me.
Yeah, subscribe and listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.